Neil Haley's show, and I'm first excited to welcome my co-host Frank Fiore, frankfiore.com, author of multiple books, and we're going to talk parental advocacy today. And Frank, that's something you got to agree with who our guest is coming on, is something that we're, parents aren't getting really decisions for their kids anymore in school, are they, Frank?
No, they're not. And we've got to get the parents back involved, and they want to be back involved. But for some reason, the educational system decided that they're going to raise their children. The state is going to raise the children and not the parents. And well, that's wrong. That's definitely wrong.
But Gwen's my guest today is Gwen Samuel. She's going to talk about her new podcast. She's one of the most biggest parental advocates. I have no idea how we met X amount of years ago. The whole Hamlet Garcia thing I had you involved with when I was just doing straight education talk. Total Tutor is going to be relaunched, so I've talked about that. Yeah. It's gone for profit, so we'll be talking. But Gwen, thanks for stopping by. And you know, and also I have a great client, Fabulingua. Shout out to Fabulingua. They are a great education client where they have a learning app for kids, Spanish, early childhood, for it's gaming and learning app that has it also has a parental app, but also a teacher app. So it's very interesting. But Gwen, thanks for stopping by. So tell us your update since the last time you've been on my show. Talk about the podcast. Let's just go.
Yes. First, I want to give a shout out to Mr. Neil Haley. When you talk about consistency, right, when you talk about credibility and reliability, your show has been that since I just became a parent advocate, and we're talking like 2012. So let's give a shout out to the Neil Haley as an individual and the show. Thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity.
Absolutely.
So we met in 2012. So the reason why I became a parent advocate, it wasn't for what people know me for. I used to care about children, pedestrian safety, because children used to walk to school in some very unsafe situations against semi-tractor trucks. So fast forward, I form an organization called the Connecticut Parents Union to fight for the educational rights of children, understanding we must strengthen families. To the gentleman's, what's the young man that's on with us again? What's his name?
Frank Fiore's with us. Yeah, and Paul is going to be able to be part of this as well and ask questions with Gwen in this roundtable discussion. Because Paul, again, great parent, right? Paul, one of your one son, unbelievably a gymnast, right? Paul, very successful in all that, right?
He is. Yeah, he used to be a gymnast. He has graduated now from college.
Okay. Well, congratulations from college. Okay. Next role model, future leader. We're voting for him. Tell him to run. We need a whole bunch of new stuff. With that being said,
he's on his way to med school.
Oh, great.
Congratulations, Dad. Congratulations. So with that being said, I formed the Connecticut Parents Union. And then one of the first issues that came on the table for us was school residency violations, where parents, whose the only crime that they commit was loving their children and want to ensure they have safe, quality educational experiences. And in Connecticut, you can face 20 years for putting your children in a different school zone. So that was one of the very first issues that the Connecticut Parents Union fought against. And we won. We got a law passed in 2013 to stop the felony arrest of parents who put their children in different school districts, right? But if you think about the pandemic and you think about the quality of schools, parents did what they knew what was best for their children. So it shouldn't be a crime, especially when taxpayers are paying for these public institutions. This is not private money. This is tax dollars. So that's how we met Hamlet. He was arrested.
That story of Hamlet Garcia was crazy. And I ended up doing a flip thing, and I'm not going to bring it up, where literally I was commuting my kids to school where my wife lives, and it was legal. So it's a really weird thing. As long as the kids are registered in the school that the main parent is in, you're fine. But if you flip it the other way, where they moved out and no one's registered there anymore, then you run into big trouble.
Exactly. But it was right. But what was interesting with Hamlet's, that's why we have to look at property, you know, look at really taxpayers' investments, because where Hamlet went, the in-laws live, you understand? And so the grandparents, they paid taxes. So fast forward, he offered to pay. The city said they want to make an example. So that is when I knew that what is different around school choice. I have marched as a parent leader. I have advocated. I have sang Kumbaya. I have done the matching t-shirts. I've been the but there is something that's still the same, and that's our elected officials. And that is why I'm formed the doing my own podcast, Vote for the Other Guy, because education is the only issue that seems to get so much political pushback when we're dealing with minors. We're dealing with children under the age of 18 for the most part, whose lives are entrusted for adults to make informed and responsible decisions. And that includes the educational institution that they utilize. We have over, we got millions of children in America. So we cannot, over 400, I think, I know we got millions. And so you cannot tell me that one model, one educational institution can meet the very diverse needs of America's children.
No, that's so, so true. And I think that, as I remember when I first started it as an education show, Frank, X amount of years ago on WRCT 88.3, which I'm not on anymore because they didn't like, I went to all different topics, but I mean, and all the terrestrial stations I'm on, and we're looking at launching another 75 plus. We're in conversation. Really interesting. It's this live streaming thing. I never thought live streaming, and I'm going to be trying to live stream more and more platforms in May. And I'm going to break a record for number of live streams for myself in May, even though I've done a ton. But Frank, when you talk about Gwen and what she's done, it's something that if you ask either political side, they really don't want to get involved in this, Frank.
No,
Republican or Democrat. You know why? See, school choice is pretty big with Republicans, charter schools, but they don't want it in school choice for public education. They want the U.S. Department of Education gone. Well, if you look on the Democratic side, they sure as heck don't want charter schools, and they're not looking at school choice, but they do have more programs out there for kids. So it's like the lesser of two evils when it comes to education, because neither of them get it. And Gwen, exactly. I want you to kind of grab in that. I call myself as in the middle, the center, and everything, because I have too many different things. That yes, I agree with certain things on the Republican side, I agree with certain things on the Democratic side, but I can't create my own political party unless I'm running. Aaron Lester, shout out to Aaron Lester. He says, I'm going to run for office someday, but I can't be, as I talk to somebody, says you can't be in the center and run anymore. But Frank, what question do you have for Gwen, especially about what she's looking to do to advocate going into this election with school choice?
Well, what you're fighting is where the money is. Okay, so who are the people that have a case in education? And you have the teachers' unions on one side, which have the money, have lots of money, which are very influential, as you can see from the COVID thing, how influential they are and making political, shaping political decisions and political policy. And so you have that problem right there. On the other side, you have the school choice people that don't have any money. You know, all they have is the ethics, the morals that they try to protect their children. And as they see the education system getting away from them, they're trying so hard to try to get it back to center. And when they do and try to protest, they end up in jail. As you can see, some of these protesters have been wrestled down in these school board meetings and got to the point where the school boards actually think they're terrorists. You know, well, that kind of talking is not going to get anything solved. You have to, Both sides have to come together, and they got to say, look, you know, there's a saying that I may not agree with you, but I want to clarify, make sure you clarify your position. And what's happening is that when they're not clarifying the positions, they take a stand and say, this is it. There's nothing else. I'm not going to move off of this. So clarify your position so I know what they are. You don't have to agree with me, but at least clarify it. All right. Clarify it that there's money behind it on from the teachers union, and clarify it on the other side that you can't go around threatening school board members if they don't agree with what you're doing. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's talk about clarifying. Number one, let's clarify whose money it is. So, right. So I hear about Democratic and Republican. Children don't know Democrat or Republican. They're looking for caring, committed adults to make sure they are safe, to make sure they have a roof over their head, right? They don't even look at it as that. They just know that the adults are going to meet their basic needs. The fact that we default to Democrat and Republican is problem number one. So before we get to problem number one, let's get clarity. The money that's in public education, no matter where you are in America, for the 49.5, I believe that's how many million children are currently in America's public school from pre-K through 12, 49 million children. So let's just say 50 million rounded.
Wow.
So you got 50 million children. So if we just say average, you know, two children household. So that means you have on average 25 million families. So if you have 25 million families that are taxpayers in one form or another, whether they're poor, whether they're middle class, whether they're rural America, whether they're urban America or suburban America, it is not the union's money. It is not the legislator's money. It is not Congress's money. It is those very individuals who pay taxes into a system. The challenge becomes is they've made it so part about their ideologies of Democrat or Republican, we're forgetting the basic needs of the children. Employers are now telling us post-pandemic that as much as you're going for your college degrees, we need skill set. We need skills. We took out the manufacturing jobs in the 70s, in the 80s. Now we outsource. Then you're saying nobody wants to work. Well, you outsource a lot of the products that we can make in America. Bring jobs here, right? So what I am saying, the vote for the other guy, let me just tell you what the mission is. My podcast is very simple. It's bringing to the forefront a vote for the other guy campaign or gal. People keep asking me, well, who to vote for? That is on you. I don't live in your house. You don't live in mine. What do you care about? Who's up on the hill? And why did you vote for them? And please, we have, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So Gwen, if I was going to rate both the Democratic and Republican Party right now, and who would be the best in school choice, would be a Republicans. And that's
they would be Republican. I would still say zero. You know why I say that? Well, I'll tell you why they're both terrible.
Well, I'm sure they're terrible too, but if you're ranking the better of the two, it's going to be the Republican Party. And as we know, the numbers right now are out that Trump has more Black and Latino vote than ever, any ever Republican ever. That's what the numbers are out right now in the polls, which is surprising everybody. But yet, it's
not surprising to me. The Americans are exhausted. It's bad enough that the fight against about Biden or Trump or anyone always is ugly. They attack everything. The American people are emotionally exhausted. So granted, conservatives, I speak for Connecticut. We have amazing conservatives, right? But they've been such a minority for so long. They're not even fighting them, or they've almost like they've accepted their place. They may agree with Joyce, but they kept saying, we've been outnumbered. We've been outnumbered for so long. Connecticut is a state of land of steady habits, right? So there are many people who are voting, whether it's Democrat or Republican, they're voting for them because they remember them. Doesn't even remember what they voted for. They're saying, well, I remember this legislator. So we're voting blindly. So the Vote for the Other Guy campaign, my podcast is number one, get us to stop voting blindly.
Yep.
I don't want us to look at, for this all intents and purposes, the more we focus on their party, the more it becomes a distraction on the issue. So, but if we look at the individual running, right? So you look at Trump, forget he's a Republican, look at Biden, forget he's a Democrat. If that's who you're, I'm just talking, I wish there was some other folk. I am just so done. Neil, if you ran, I might vote for you. I am just so unhappy with what is happening.
But it goes back to, so if you're looking at specifically enough, the mistake the Republican Party made is to allow Trump to run based on the fact that it's a landslide. Anyone runs against Biden, they win. And just because of how divisive Trump is and how he's ticked off so many people and so many things, and he doesn't want to listen to the Republican Party, but that's not going to change anything because you're going to still have a split down the country 50-50. You're never going to see specific things end up legislatively happening. I think as a country, we need to rise up and say our legislative system is not working. We're not able to go and make decisions on the best important decisions. Let's talk about TikTok, for example. TikTok, you know, they had the one vote to ban it. The next vote, they're not even meeting. So people were all scared TikTok's going. and they're never going to meet in the Senate to vote for it. That's exactly. So, you know, we put the scare tactic out there, but our legislative system really doesn't move anything unless it's pork, unless it's benefiting them.
Right. And that's why we need to have other candidates. See, that what you said, this fear mongering. See, you know, I'm a Christian. So when I hear fear, when you say fear God, I hear it means reverence, right? A respect. But the way legislators use it, they use it to control, right? So we need to move away from the fear mongering, the emotional elements. And I'm the emotional creature. Anyone who knows me says, when the pot of calm, the kettle black, you are a walking emotion, right? But I understand the importance of voting informed. That means I have to put my emotions aside. I have to forget how I may feel about a Trump or a Biden. And I'm going to go local and state. Because I think we focus so much on the national scene.
The local is going to be where certain things are happening. School board's the first.
Oh, exactly.
Whoever's in a school board, Frank, is really who's controlling everything. And if you watch specifically a show, I watch Billions right now. I'm streaming it. It's I don't think it's gone. I think it's done with Showtime. But if you saw how government has so much power, and certain officials aren't making that much money, but somehow they are getting lots of fringe benefits. The unions, the teacher unions are a huge organization. At the top power are, there's so much money.
And it's a private organization.
Yeah. And how much do you think that the teacher unions, the head of the teacher unions make a year? And how many think the other people that are involved, that are the higher ups and the fringe benefits they have? So they're not thinking of kids, they're thinking of power. And if they don't want to release that power towards unions. So Frank, teacher unions are probably the biggest issue that comes anytime in schools, that the reason why education isn't happening, why there's not a more competitive education system, Frank, is teacher unions. And they're controlling it completely in the school system.
Yeah, well, then they've discredited themselves completely with the COVID, pandemic.
Oh yes, absolutely, sir. Yes,
and you know, to stand there and take the CDC recommendations, okay, as gospel, and to keep kids out of school for years, and we're seeing the end result. Right. And they're damaged, and they should be damaged, and something has to be done about that teachers' union.
No doubt. Right. You definitely, there has to be something done, but there's not going to be.
The biggest
movement when Gwen and I were talking so much education before, when my education show was Waiting for Superman, I was such a charter school fan. I was so into, when I ended up teaching in an Extra Mile Foundation school when I was still a teacher, because that's what I was doing. A lot of this was still a teacher. That was what was needed. And then you have the politics in the classrooms. Some teachers want to work their asses off, and other teachers don't want to do anything.
And they get paid for not doing anything, though. See, it's one thing to not do. See, that's when you embolden. See, when I started advocacy, every time an advocate, I've got to fight the unions. You got to fight this. You got to fight that. And I realized it was a distraction. Because once I understood their mission, I don't focus on them anymore. Their mission is to protect their members at any cost. And so they have been in bed. That's why we got career politics who was in bed with them, right? The intricacies, right? The entanglements of this current legislation, especially career politicians, anyone who's been at least a couple of, he's over a decade, right? Who is still voting against children. Right. You know they're in bed with the union some kind of way.
100%.
So I understand. So I understand, therefore, their members, parents and guardians and communities and voters have to focus on the children. The unions are going to do
it. But we've been talking about this. So if you talk about, we've known each other for 13 years, I've been talking about it for 15 years. As the show in January will be 15 years since I started on WRCT, and I started it as an education show to really get that and really have those education debates. And things they've not gotten better. So how can you, okay, so how is your podcast going to change things?
Right.
But you're going to be able to change things in Connecticut. But then we're talking each state. Right.
Right. So let's think about this. I'm going to answer your question. You say we've done this for 15 years or so. But what haven't we done? We haven't held the lawmakers accountable. If you look at the records of voting for the last decade or so, many of the people who continue to vote against our children and expanded school options, and it doesn't mean just choice. It could be scholarships. We got kids in prison that are coming out and they're protected by the Constitution. You think you're going to put them back in mainstream? You have to look at expanded educational opportunities because children are still protected. But we're not going after these lawmakers. We've made lawmakers gods. We're afraid to mention their names.
It's the power. Gwen, it's the power. If we decided to go after something, there's such organized crime in politics that even lower end politics, as I was again, and any shout out to anyone who's a fan of Billions, that literally somebody that makes $100,000 a year can put a billionaire in jail. And that is the power of what you have law enforcement for. You have specific things. So if you call out certain Congress people, Gwen, if you had a business, they go and say, okay, we're going to shut down your business. The unions are going to come back and do certain things. So I think it's going to have to be such a huge parent movement, and the lawmakers will understand that it's such a groundswell.
I don't think it's a parent move. I think it's a taxpayer move. So here's the difference. See, this has to be a collective. These are individuals coming collectively to say, we are now going to hold you accountable for our tax investment. We've never held them accountable to our tax investment. We don't even talk about tax investment. Parents just say, oh, I pay taxes. So if you pay taxes, we have to love our children enough to change some things. What hasn't changed? Let's go back to the pandemic. Think about the power of the pandemic. That's why they're powerful. We were able to shut the country down, put people off roads, close businesses. The private sector took a beating. But what did the pandemic teach us as Americans? That we will do what we need to do when we need to do it, right? Because we didn't go outside. We knew we could martial law. We were afraid to get arrested. So imagine if we took that same energy that we did for the pandemic and get rid of some of these career politicians. I believe in we the people. I believe in us.
So you think it's the career politicians. Okay. Frank, how many career politicians do you see out there, Frank, that need to be gone?
A lot of them.
Probably going to the White House. All of Congress. No, you know, that's another thing. But that's another thing. I mean, the term limits.
Yeah.
Who's got to vote off a term limit? The very people that want to keep the term limits.
Well, we are term limits, Frankie. We don't need term. Frank, think about it. If we didn't vote for them, they wouldn't be in office. We, the American people, are the term limits.
But again, but then they get to do, they, and why we need to eliminate the ability that they, any of their friends, family, or anyone should be involved in the stock market, because they know what's going to happen with companies before it happens. And they all do insider training. So they come into the White House with hardly any money, and then they come back worth so much. And not the White House, I'm talking, they go into Congress. So then they have the money for the campaigns to keep running, so somebody who's comes in can't win. So we
start with one, Neil. We only need one. See, here's the thing. We're talking, oh, we can't get rid of all of them. One. You know what they did to Hamlet Garcia? That's to Hamlet. Hamlet said, I'll pay you for the whole year, even though I only owe you 2 months worth of, you know, because that's when they said it. You know what they said? We wanted to make an example of you.
All right. So bring up Hamlet Garcia one more time for people. Shout out to Hamlet. Again, you know, but just tell us an update on Hamlet. I mean, not update, but what happened.
I got it.
So tell the quick story.
So subsequently, so in 2012, there was a Spanish family, right? The Garcias, Hamlet Garcia. They were having family squabbles. They moved to the in-laws' house. That's where the daughter went. And mom, the district said, you don't live here, even though the license was changed. Everything was done accordingly. And then when he, you know, just for the sake, they were going to arrest the mom and dad. They had a lucrative, you know, a successful business. They couldn't become felons. So Hamlet said, I'll pay. They were like, no, we want to make an example.
So whose house, whose district were the kids in?
The grandparents' district.
The grandparents, and they moved out of the grandparents' house.
Well, the mother and the daughter moved in with the grandparents because Hamlet, and they were having family difficulties like any other family in America.
Oh, right? So I thought that as long as you're registered in that school district, that's the district you can go.
No, she was registered in everything. They still just said they said they were from the primary. Same thing happened with Kelly Bolar from Ohio. When the kids went to the grandfather's house, a tax-paying grandfather's house who owned his properties. That means his property tax. See, that's the problem with these laws. Taxpayers, they're choosing who can benefit. Think about the migrant crime. I'm not going to go down.
So it's only, so the rule is that it's the parents' district is where.
You have to know, you have to be resided there. She had to have her license changed. You had to show you were living there, which the wife did. But they still said, you're married, you live somebody. Even though the wife changed her license. Alicia changed her license. The daughter lived there. They were actually separated. Literally having a fun. And it's sad that you got to put your, you know, your marriage out there. They were having marriage difficulties. The what they separated briefly. But the thank goodness for this craziness, because they had to come together to fight the madness. So the problem I have with what happened with Hamlet, Kelly Hamlet.
Yeah, we're talking prison, which we don't even
get. Right, they could have went to prison, but they're taxpayers. And see, this is the problem I have with this current administration. Everyone else gets the benefits from the taxpaying dollars, but the American people. They use their politics conveniently. So to your point, it is a big task, but that's because we've made them gods. If we can remember, they are fallible. They were once freshmen, right? So imagine they were once freshmen, and then we kept voting them. Oh, vote for me. I know I didn't use your issue this week. Keep voting for me. I'll do it next month. We vote for them year after year. They promise us. They even promise the moon and the stars, and it's not even them to give.
All right.
We believe them.
This is such interesting. Last question for Gwen, Frank.
Uh-huh.
And Frank, you got to be impressed by this. Again, I'm impressed by her setup. I wasn't expecting this. She's ready for her podcast. I think she's
American Mom.
No, Gwen, you're ready for your own talk show, isn't she? Frank, yeah, she's ready.
She's a firebrand.
She's ready. I mean, she's ready to have her own TV show. But go ahead, Frank, with your last question for Gwen.
Oh well, you know, I'm 77. Okay,
and so I see God bless you.
A lot of politics, a lot of policies, and all that go through. And when it comes down right to it, and I went during the civil rights movements, the 60s, the anti-war, all that. Yeah, I was out there protesting and doing all that stuff. But when it kind of comes down to it, you really got to see that for anything to really change, you got to have that big movement. And right. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. But unfortunately, we have to suffer. People have to suffer a lot of pain before they get off their asses and do something.
Right.
And are we getting there? I think so. I think so.
Yeah, we're gonna find that out for sure. Best place we can listen to the podcast, Gwen. Where can we go?
You can go to Facebook, Gwen Samuel, Real Talk Gwen Samuel, and Gwen Samuel. Also, I do have a Vote for the Other Guy page, and you can see me on Twitter. And stay tuned, because if they don't vote for children on the front end, we'll be voting for the other guy on the back end.
So you should have that in that list, no doubt. And again, thank our great sponsor, Frank Fiore, frankfiore.com. Go purchase all of his books, especially Moran's coming out. That'll be really interesting for Gwen to learn about Moran and different books. Appreciate it, Gwen. Thanks again for stopping by, and we'll talk soon.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Frank.
All right. Have a great weekend. You're welcome. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.